Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Well, it is Tuesday, April 14th, 2020. We have 10 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have northwest winds, 10 to 15 knots, wind waves from the northwest 2 feet high at 4 seconds apart, and west swells 3 feet at 9 seconds, building to 6 feet at 11 seconds in the afternoon. So you can see the effect of those wind waves and swells on our local waters here. It's always interesting to see what's happening out there, which direction things are coming from on any given day. And today we're going to talk more about local tides. I'm going to answer a question that I found on Facebook from somebody wanting to know more about tides in Willapa Bay, which is to the north of us here in Astoria. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 5 inbounders. We have 1 ship in the Astoria anchorage. And we have 4 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. First in the river this morning, our first arrival is the Pipit Arrow. She's arriving from China, headed for the Vancouver, Washington anchorage. She is going eventually to the port of Portland to pick up soda ash. She'll pass Astoria around 9:30 this morning. You might see her in mid-afternoon at Vancouver in the anchorage there. She's going to wait there between that Vancouver anchorage is in the river, kind of between Portland and in the Columbia River, between Portland and Vancouver. And then she'll kind of scoot down and go up the Willamette up to the entrance into the port of Portland. The G.H. Power is arriving from South Korea, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She'll be there by about 11:30 a.m. The Ardmore Cherokee is arriving from Gray's Harbor, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She's headed for Klatskanai eventually to pick up ethanol. And she will probably arrive in Astoria's anchorage in early afternoon, maybe around 1:30. The Berge Scafell Pike is arriving from South Korea, headed for Kalama. She could have steel on board, big heavy coils of steel. She'll pass Astoria around 6 p.m. and arrive in Kalama maybe around 11 p.m. The Odysseus 1 is arriving from South Korea, headed for Astoria's anchorage. I think she's a wheat ship. She'll be in the anchorage by about 11 p.m. In the Astoria anchorage already, we have the Albatross Island. She's headed for Portland to pick up wheat today at about 4 p.m. She'll pass Astoria outbound around 10 p.m. She is leaving the Astoria anchorage, headed for Portland, and will get there about 10 p.m. In our outbounders, the Ida Selmer is leaving Vancouver, leaving around 1:30 a.m. That'll put her past Astoria around 7:30 a.m., so she's already gone by, unless there were some delays. Sometimes, you know, these schedules that I post and talk about on the air are approximations. Sometimes things can change. I remember when I was really fortunate in 2010 to travel aboard a bulk carrier from the Columbia River up into British Columbia and then to Tacoma and then down to San Francisco. And one thing I learned was that things can change at ports. A ship can be waiting at the berth and then their orders will change. And the ship that I was on stayed an extra day in a port in British Columbia in Seychelles. Because they decided they wanted to load more cargo of the same cargo, so they just stayed there longer. So things can change. Sometimes you'll see ships wait in the anchorage for a while or wait at a berth longer than they'll be on the schedule to depart for a couple days and they won't leave. And those are all internal things going on with the business of running the ship, because ships are really essentially carriers of cargo. They're like the semi-trucks of the sea, really. And so their job is to move cargo around, and that's the deciding factor. The Anne is leaving Vancouver with wheat on board at about 1:30 a.m. She'll pass Astoria outbound, or did, at about 7:30 a.m. The Cameron Oslo is leaving Kalama with wheat on board about 3:30 p.m. She will probably pass Astoria outbound around 9:30 p.m. outbound. And the Thor Friendship is leaving Longview with wheat on board at about 4 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 7:30 p.m. Well, I've been talking with you a little bit about tides, and I was talking yesterday about tides in the Columbia River. And I came across a comment where somebody mentioned the ship report, where someone was asking on a group on Facebook. I think it was Long Beach Peninsula Friends of Facebook, so it was a question about the peninsula, about tides in Willapa Bay, and where do you get the best information about that? And I thought, what an interesting topic. So I thought I'd talk a little bit about that. Well, to just, in a broad brush, answer the question, a place that I really like to go online to get tidal information is saltwatertides.com. It's pretty specific by state and by area. And when I went to Willapa Bay, this was a question about how do you tell what the tides are doing in Willapa Bay? It doesn't seem like it's the same as the Columbia, and it is not. And that's because tides are different in different places. I say that quite a bit. But when I went to the saltwatertides.com site and looked up Willapa Bay, there were 11 different places where the tides are measured. So you can look up 11 different tide tables, and they're all a little bit different. And so I looked up the tides and found that, hold on, let me grab my piece of paper here. I looked up some of them. I looked at Nakata Bay Center, Mailboat Slough, which is a great name, the Nacelle River 4 miles above the Swing Bridge, and compared that to the Columbia River. And so high tide at Nakata was this morning, 6:44 a.m. In Bay Center, 6:24. In Mailboat Slough, 6:34. They're pretty close. But in the Nacelle River elsewhere, high tide was 7:17 a.m. And then when you compare that to the Columbia River, high tide at the mouth of the river by the North Jetty, 5:47 a.m. So you see that there's a bit of variation there. I mean, not terrible variation, same general time of day, early morning, but there definitely is a variation. So for people who are, I would say that this is a great local knowledge question, because the people who would really know the nuances of Willapa Bay are people who work there and live there and recreate there. So I would say, if you live there and you want to know, talk to an oysterman, talk to a fisherman, go to organizations that do kayaking. Some of the information that I got was from a website called Washington Water Trails, and the Willapa Bay Wildlife Refuge has a lot of knowledge about, local knowledge about the bay itself. But so here's a little bit of what I learned about the bay. I'm certainly not an expert, but it's a complex system. Much of the bay drains out with the change of tide. So about 84 square miles of mudflats are exposed every time there's a low tide. That's more than 50% of the total bay area at high tide is exposed at low tide. So it's in great flux. So one thing, interesting tidbit I learned, is that tide books for tide records for Tongue Point here on the river are very close to what's happening in Willapa Bay. So if you just wanted to glance at something quickly and get an idea, you could go to saltwatertides.com and look at Tongue Point, and you could sort of maybe make a broad comparison to what's happening in Willapa Bay. The tidal range in Willapa Bay is -2 feet to over 12 feet, so it can be a huge range, and there are 7 rivers that drain into Willapa Bay. So a complex tidal system. And all tidal systems are complex. Nothing really happens on schedule. There are a lot of nuances and factors playing into what happens. But what a very interesting question, and I thank you so much to the person who asked it. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening. And have a great day.